first presenter is Dr. Martha Rhodes. Dr. Rhodes, it's as she's seen on the screen, all right, is going to present the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and drinking water contaminant in Nebraska, atrazine and nitrates. Dr. Rhodes, it's had a BS in chemistry and psychology from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and a PhD in toxicology from the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Her research interest deals with drinking water quality and associated health risk. Please give her an applause of welcome to the table.
Thank you. Good morning. We have no conflicts of interest. Just to give you a little bit of background on non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, it's the fifth most common type of cancer found in Nebraska. Like most cancers, it has a latency period between 10 and 20 years, which makes studying environmental exposures a little bit difficult as it relates to the disease. Some of the reported risk factors include family history, genetics, medical conditions, immune disorders specifically, lifestyle habits such as smoking, alcohol use, sun exposure, things like that, and then occupational exposures. There have been studies that have reported agricultural activities as risk factors for NHL, and a few of those that have been published include nitrate in drinking water. It's felt that the association of nitrate in drinking water with NHL is due to the in vivo formation of nitrosamines. And then there have been some studies looking at exposure to herbicides, specifically the triazine herbicides, one of which is atrazine. What's not known is the association between drinking water atrazine and the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, or the association between nitrate plus atrazine in drinking water and the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Whoops. Just to give you a little information on nitrosamines, they're a large group of chemical compounds found both in the environment and they are formed in mammalian systems. There's about 300 of them so far that have been identified as possible carcinogens in animals. It's felt that chronic exposure to nitrosamines is more effective in tumor induction than an acute large dose. To get a chemical reaction to form a nitrosamine, you need a nitrosation precursor, which is nitrite, and then the most favorable molecule to bind with the nitrite is a secondary amine. Secondary amines can be all sorts of chemicals, medications. We're going to be talking today about pesticides, specifically atrazine. It has been shown that nitrosoatrazine easily forms in the human stomach, and nitrosoatrazine has also been shown to cause chromosomal abnormalities in lymphocytes at concentration as low as one part per billion. I want to give you a little bit of background on the groundwater problem in Nebraska with both nitrate and atrazine. Nitrate, the map on your right shows the distribution of wells in Nebraska that are possible drinking water wells that they can be drank from. They're not monitoring wells. So these are average concentrations across the state. The nitrate maximum contaminant level has been declared by the EPA to be 10 milligrams per liter. The source of nitrate contamination in Nebraska's groundwater is mostly from non-point contamination with nitrogen-based fertilizers. About 85% of Nebraska's drinking water comes from groundwater. The map on your left shows the administrative orders that have been issued from the Department of Health In Nebraska, since 1991, about 40 administrative orders have been issued. Atrazine is a herbicide used in Nebraska. It's used to control broadleaf weeds and grasses in corn and sorghum. And if you've ever had the opportunity to drive through Nebraska, you know we grow a little bit of corn. So atrazine is the most commonly detected pesticide in Nebraska's drinking water. Groundwater. It's typically found where there's high concentrations of nitrate. The MCL is about 1,000 times less than nitrate at three micrograms per liter, and that was also set by the EPA. Municipal water systems have to monitor for atrazine every 3 years. If they get a detection, they monitor quarterly, and until they have a full year of no detection, can they only go back to the every 3 year monitoring. Monitoring started mandatory in about 1992. It was brought in with the 1986 Safe Drinking Water Act amendments, but the EPA gave the public water supply systems a little bit of time to come into compliance. So mostly the earliest data, other than researchers, starts in about 1992. Oh, just to mention, no administrative orders to date have been issued for atrazine in Nebraska. So the purpose of our study was to evaluate the association between exposure to atrazine and nitrate in drinking water and the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We obtained case control study data from a study that was conducted at UNMC between 1999 and 2002 by Brian Chu. We obtained residential history that included the length of the residence and the address at the time of interview. And then the participants reported their primary drinking water source. The water data was collected from the Nebraska Department of Human Health and Human Services, and then we made site visits out to the public water systems to supplement any data that maybe wasn't reported to Health and Human Services, and visited with operators about their systems and how they worked. We documented well number, the month and the year of the test results, and then we collected concentrations for nitrate, atrazine, and several other pesticides in order to eliminate confounding that may be bias our results based on other pesticides that may be in the water. And if you're familiar with infrastructure in municipal water systems, some of them can be very complex, and not all wells contribute equally to the infrastructure. So we collected well usage data to include the time wells were in use and the gallons pumped into the distribution system. Then we mapped the subject's residence and the wells and determined which wells actually contributed to the subject's residence at the time of interest from 1978 to 1998. And the statistical software that we used was SPSS for the analysis. So finally, eligible to participate in this study were 192 controls and 140 cases. And this map illustrates the public water supply systems that were involved in the study. And we included about 98 public water systems. We ran some analysis to make sure we weren't confounding our final results. Variables that were given to us were basic metabolic index, smoking, history, education, and family history. And as you can see from this table, none of these variables were associated with NHL when modeled as univariate variables. And then we looked at the univariate risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma associated with the drinking water contaminants. We had enough variation in the data that we could monitor, or that we could model both nitrate and atrazine as categorical variables, as well as continuous variables. And again, we found no association with NHL and these drinking water contaminants when they were modeled alone. The United States Geographical Service has reported that anything less than, or anything greater than about 2 milligrams per liter is probably a result of human contamination to the groundwater supply. So that is how we determine the cutoff between less than 2 milligrams or greater than 2 milligrams in the categorical variables. And the rest of the pesticides, there was not enough variation in the data to model those as continuous variables. And again, 2,4-D, simazine, alachlor, none of these were related to risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So to test our hypothesis that maybe it was actually an interaction between nitrate and atrazine, we analyzed the data with the main effects, nitrate, atrazine, and then an interaction term. And what we found was the risk of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma for those exposed to both atrazine and nitrate was about 2.5 times the risk of those not exposed to those two drinking water contaminants. Many epidemiological studies suggest that certain subtypes and maybe more related to risk factors than other subtypes. So we looked at aggressive B-cell lymphoma and indolent B-cell lymphoma and risk of, and the interaction of nitrate and atrazine after adjusting for age. And we found 3.5 times the risk for those exposed to both atrazine and nitrate for indolent B-cell lymphoma. So in summary, nitrate in drinking water was not associated with NHL risk. Atrazine in drinking water was not associated with NHL risk. However, the risk of developing NHL is about 2.5 times greater in subjects exposed to nitrate and atrazine in drinking water when compared with subjects not exposed. And the risk of developing indolent B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was 3.5 times the greater in subjects exposed to nitrate and atrazine in drinking water compared to those folks not exposed. We'd like to continue a little bit with this project and look at the association of T14-18. T14-18 is a translocation on chromosome 14 to 18, and there's a positive and a negative in NHL T14-18 translocation, and we'd like to look at those subtypes and see if they are also, if there's increased risk for those subtypes and exposure to atrazine and nitrate. Mary Ward conducted a study in Nebraska in 1996, and we're in the process of looking at her data to see if the data is available so that maybe we can combine our two studies for a larger sample size. Few people I would like to acknowledge that were very important to this study. The case control data came from Brian Chu. The water data, we couldn't have collected in a lot of the water data without the help of Andy Kale at Nebraska Health and Human Services. He pulled all the water data files and answered many, many questions. The water operators took times out of their busy schedule to visit with us when we went and did the site visits. Our maps were created by Les Howard in the School of Natural Resources, and then funding was partially provided for this project from the University of Nebraska Center for Environmental Toxicology and my advisor for my dissertation project, Roy Spaulding. Questions?